George. It's not going to happen again, by George. It's not going to happen again, by George. Which would be a very fine motto to be carved over the main entranceway to Grand Central Terminal. By George, it's not going to happen again. And every guy who goes through the main entranceway of Grand Central Station on his way to Westchester or East Westchester or West Westchester or West 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 Westchester, Wester, on his way up, would read this beautiful slogan that says, "By George, it's not going to happen again." And each one would know exactly what it meant. What it meant, it would, oh, here we sit, here we sit. Oh, in hoc auricula, halfway up the next block in that little house, that friendly little house. And let us now tune in to Father, whose family is that? And it goes on and on, and it just gets longer and longer. Like this morning, this beautiful, beautiful, brilliant morning. Oh, what are you doing sitting on your duff out there? Now, let's get calmed down, Shepherd. Now, this is Harold Everyman here. We'll be here until 12 noon. Whew. I'm not out of breath. I'm just out of psyche. Whew. That's a different thing entirely and can be much more serious. I mean, you can always get breath. Whew. Like I just found out the other day, Time Magazine has a conscience editor, which I... They have. Don't look at me like that. Look at them like that. Don't give me the look. We'll be here till 12 noon, and my name is Faustus, and I'm waiting for a deal here. And it hasn't happened yet. Nobody has offered me a nickel. Not so much as a plugged cent. But I'll say this, that there are temptations on every side. This is a true. There are temptations everywhere you look. I mean, it's a terrible thing sometimes when you see, like this morning, I'm in this cab, and right there on this great big marquee hanging out over Times Square is a big sign staring me right in the face. You know, these marquees look very sleazy in the morning. At night, they're all lit up. And the light comes from inside of them. They sort of glow with an inner glow. And those black letters standing out there stark against the sky, no matter what they say, they look official. But in the morning, they look crooked. And the marquees look kind of dirty and cruddy. And Dan, this is directed right at you. There's this marquee hanging right over Times Square at this very hour, right now, this moment. And you know what it says on it? It says, "The flesh is weak," with exclamation points. And I was doing okay. You see, there were a couple of big signs hanging down. It says, "Ed Sullivan Day is coming pretty soon. Will you be ready?" I was making a few plans. We're having a block party on Ed Sullivan Day. Yes. Some dancing in the streets. We've got a dog act coming out, a few things. We're going to do the last act of Boris Godunov to celebrate Ed Sullivan Day. And I'm going along there, and all of a sudden this marquee says, "The flesh is weak." And by George, I'm all jelly in the back seat of this cab. Because I hate truth at this hour of the morning. I mean, I hate truth. It's like cold wheatina. I mean, it's truthful. It's really wheatina, but oh, is it cold and lumpy. That's all right. Now, you can go back to the pool room now. It's okay. I just thought you ought to know that the flesh is weak. All right. It sure is. And then the next line on this marquee, you know, these marquees are composed of, and all they are composed of exclamatory, not phrases, but just words sometimes. They don't even tell you what picture is playing anymore. It says, "Stark! Horrifying! Ghastly!" Bring the family in. A good time will be had at the movies by all. Oh, that's it. Which makes me believe that man really wants to be horrified. He wants to face the stark, naked truth of himself. From time to time. But not himself. Not himself. Not at all that. "Excuse me, madam. It's okay. We'll be all right." And I feel pretty great this morning. It's because of this beautiful sun that's shining down. Man is a creature of nature, of course. There's no getting around it. That no matter how hard we work at it, no matter how many things we build, no matter how we act about it, I mean, it wouldn't make any difference if we paved the entire North Woods. that we are still creatures of nature. We are still part of it, just like the chipmunks, like the squirrels, like the rabbits, and like the giraffes. And even though we don't want to face this, it is true. You know, up in the mountains, I went to this place one time up in the mountains. I was given a free weekend at the mountains. The only time I've ever been in the mountains, the mountains. You have to say it in one word, you see. It's not pronounced the mountains. It's the mountains. You go to the mountains. It's all one word. And up in the mountains, they have all these resorts that are made out of like imitation fire brick and all that stuff. They have glass and they have kidney-shaped and pancreas-shaped and liver-shaped swimming pools. And some of the people are shaped like pancreas or kidneys or livers. And the sun shines down and they've got all the forests out there, you know. Of course, nobody really looks at the forest. And this one place, what was the name of the place? I was at a place called Brown's, and they had the blueprints already in, and they were building an indoor mountain there. It was, it makes it easier when it rains and all that sort of thing. You see, mankind is still a product, a child of nature. Hello, O children of nature. I don't hear anything. It's all right. Don't get alarmed. I'm just waiting for an answer. Oh, there they are, by Georgia Rooney. Oh, they're all out there. Listeners, did you hear them? How wonderful. It isn't often you hear them. Hello, O children of nature. Oh, they're bashful now. I don't blame them. Get bashful. Everybody looked at them there for a minute, you know, and you get awful embarrassed when the sun shines in your eyes and all that stuff. Hi, George, isn't that nice? We'll be here until 12 noon, fighting against the forces of twilight. Not darkness, just twilight. I can't stand darkness at this hour. Although, I'll tell you, I had a funny thing happen to me one time. Speaking of darkness at this hour, have you ever had the experience? No, I don't think many of you could have had the experience, because it was one time, there was a unique experience in my life, just once. It might have happened to each person in his time, one time. But it happened to me once. It's this terrible wrench of having everything completely out of focus, but completely. Just absolutely, utterly, completely. It was a very peculiar thing. I was up in northern Michigan, and it was in the late fall of the year. It was about this time of the year, as a matter of fact. It was way up in northern Michigan where they shoot deer and all this stuff. It was a very peculiar place, and they had lakes and woods and all this sort of thing. You'd be surprised how woods look. How long has it been since have you ever really seen a woods? I mean, they're really there. I mean, real woods. I mean, with great big hairy trees and stuff. And things that sneak around and make crackling sounds. And I was up there in this woods, and a very peculiar thing happened. I don't know how to explain it, except to say that this is what happened. I got up, it was about 11 o'clock in the morning. It was on a Saturday morning, and I got up at 11 o'clock in the morning, and I looked out of the cabin. It was black in the cabin. It was like night. It was 11 o'clock, and I looked out, and it was still dark out, and completely like night. Dark. It was black. B-L-A-K. Black. It was dark out. And I looked around, I says, it's 11 o'clock. What is this? This is ridiculous. And I had been sleeping and everything. And here it's 11 o'clock. And it's black out. And I looked out, and I couldn't see any lights or anything. It was night out. And I'm not kidding, it wasn't just dark. It was like 11 o'clock at night. I looked at my watch, and it says 11 o'clock. And I says, it must be, what is this? And so I had this portable radio, and I turned on the radio. I thought maybe the whole world had been bombed. Really, all of a sudden you're beginning to think, what is this? What happened? And I could hardly get any radio stations. Up in northern Michigan, they have these peculiar atmospheric conditions up there. And you get very little. And so I'm saying, what is this? This is ridiculous. And I listened to the radio station. Here's some disc jockey, the only one I could hear, saying, now, ladies and gentlemen, for all the boys out at Westwood High, for Pat, Charlie, for Mike, for all the kids at the pool room. And it's going on. The world is going on exactly like it always had going on. I mean, the same old glop, the same old junk. And I'm listening. I says, come on, tell me what's happened. Is it there, too, where you are? And I walked out of the cabin, and it's night. Absolute night. And it was absolute, I mean, complete night. And so I says, this is ridiculous. And I picked up the telephone, and the phone was making a buzzing sound. And I got the operator, and I said, operator, what time is it? And she says, so, let's see, it's about 10 after 11. I said, 10 after 11 in the morning? She says, yes, what do you mean, 10 after 11 in the morning? I said, is it dark where you are? Just like that. She says, I don't know what you're talking about, sir. I'll give you to the supervisor. And it was night where I was. I mean, it was a terrible thing. It would be like if everybody woke up in Hackensack, New Jersey, and they looked across the river, and it's blackout. It's night in Hackensack, and they look across the river, and they see that New York is carrying on just like normal. And the sun is shining over here and everything, you know, and it's night in Hackensack. Of course, it's been like that in Hackensack for years anyway, one way or another. But, I mean, really, you know. You want to know how this happened, why this was this way? There was an illogical explanation, which, if you stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, you will find unraveled at the end of this program. But it was this is a true story. I'm not making this up. It was night. And I kept running around, hitting my head against the trees for about a half an hour, trying to figure out what in the world had happened. And the lake was out there. It was black. And the bass were coming up, looking around. When does it get morning here so we can hide again? Yeah, I mean, they've been feeding for years out there. You know, they only feed at night, bass. And, I mean, this was a real strange thing. So this happened to me one time, and so I realized that I panic. I really panic when things get out of hand like that, totally and thoroughly. Are you already in there, Dad? Come on. Come on in here and make this thing fast, because we have what we call, in the parlance of creative writing, a natural break. Do you know that J.P. Marquand is thinking of selling commercials in his next book? Yeah, he's going to have pages that are just commercials. I say, and now we'll pause for just a moment in the story of H.M. Pullum, Esquire, and here's a word from your announcer.
That's astounding, Alda. This is WOR Radio, your station for news. Hey, go out to a movie tonight.
Startling, horrifying.
See Cough.
No.
Oh. See a great combination show. It's called Kings Go Forth. It stars Frank Sinatra, together with the Bravados, with Gregory Peck. And right now it's at Century's College, Park, and Baldwin Theaters.
Well, top quality legs of lamb at Grand Union in New Jersey and Orange and Rockland counties.
Lamb special? What's the price?
Only 59 cents a pound. Save $1.45 on the average leg of lamb.
Where did you say?
Grand Union supermarkets in New Jersey and Orange and Rockland counties.
This is WOR 710 and WOR FM New York. Gene Shepherd follows the time announcement. And on this session, he will say...
Gregory Peck.
The time is exactly 10:30.
Yes, once again, we're back in... Well, that's Gregory Peck. I will repeat it again for the benefit of the West Coast. Gregory Peck! George, that's enough of that. Yes, wouldn't it be great if authors, you know, it's going to come to that. You open the book, see, and there's this real big scroll. It says, General Electric presents The Way It Really Is by Ernest Hemingway. And you can see the music goes, dee, 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 few bars of music, da, 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 dee, 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 dee. Yes, the story of Harry McMurdo and his lovely girlfriend, Deborah Carr, who becomes a lady bullfighter, and in just a moment we'll continue the story, but first, a message from General Electric. You're reading it, and then there's this guy showing you how the General Electric range works. And now we go to Ernest Hemingway. Come in, Ernie. It was late fall in the town of Saludos Mulatos in Spain, and on it goes, see. What a ridiculous idea. But, you know, it's not far from that yet now. J.P. Marquand is already making a deal, I understand. And Herman Wolk has been writing commercials into his books for years. Of course, his commercials are on behalf of a very sneaky thing. Not outright. I mean, they're kind of a commercial. He's the great writer on behalf of conformity and the status quo. and his commercials sneak in very sneaky ways. But it would be a magnificent idea. You know, I have a feeling that some very, very, very funny things that are happening in our world today. And I think that we will see the day, really see the day yet, come along when that will happen to almost everything. You know, everything is being packaged, as a matter of fact. You know, of course, the day was when weather was just weather. I mean, really just weather. I mean, if it rained, it rained. And if you wanted to know what it was going to do tomorrow, you just looked at the upper left-hand corner of the newspaper, and it would say, tomorrow it's going to be crummy again. And, I mean, it was you just accepted it, see? But today, weather is controversial. Do you know that, Jim? Do you know that weather is controversial? And many weather sponsors today say, now, look, a lot of people don't like rain. And you don't want to offend those people like that. I mean, and a lot of people don't like snow. Now, we, the makers of Fidget Widgies, would like to maintain a kind of, well, actually, what we like are happy listeners. We like happy listeners, and we are a happy product. And unhappy listeners are people you tell it's going to rain on tomorrow. And so they hire this beautiful girl, see, who comes out on television at 11 o'clock, and she's got all this hair and all these dresses on, see, and she says, hello, everybody, hello, 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 everybody, hello. this is Pudgy Wudgy here this evening, and we're going to tell you about the weather. It rained a little bit today, didn't it? Well, it was kind of a fun rain, though, everyone. It was just a fun rain. And we had this high-pressure area. It came down from Canada, you know. That funny old high-pressure area. And look at it, shaped like Winnie the Pooh. See on the map there? Isn't that a fun old high-pressure area coming down there from the north? And it's meeting this low-pressure area that looks just like Ignatz Mouse. And he's coming up from Texas, and they're going to meet right here over Manhattan, and we're going to have this fun. Now, we'll return to our weather in just a moment, but first a word from our commercial announcer, the fun announcer. Hi, folks. I'm here just to tell you for a moment about Fudgy Wudgies that bring you this fun program called Weather Fun Fun. And we'll return to Pudgy in just a moment. And now let's get back to this. Yes, folks, and there is suggestion that, we're just going to have a little bitty hurricane tomorrow, it says. And this hurricane is named Stubby. It's Hurricane Stubby. And it goes on and on and on like this. It's the fun weather. You see, everything is being packaged like this. Everything has to be fun now. Nothing is controversial, and there was a time when the weather was just rotten. I mean, it just said, tomorrow it's going to be terrible, rotten, awful. And there it is. It's there, you see. But we can't face this anymore. We can no longer face the way things truly, really are. And it has to be deodorized and sprayed. And made into a kind of a package, and it has to have plastic around it. As a matter of fact, though, I think that this is almost exclusively a New York problem. I have lived in several sections of the country for one reason or another, mostly because I just, you know, I've lived in other sections of the country for one reason or another. I kept getting fired. And so now here I find myself in New York. And the thing that I see about New York, that I know about New York, is that the New Yorker is the most weather-feared. He fears weather more than anybody else I've ever known in any other part of the country. He really does. Like today, I'm in this cab. Beautiful day. Magnificent day. And look, it's late November. The sun is shining down. The skies are blue. Just a beautiful, beautiful day. I get in the cab and I say to this guy, a typical New Yorker, I say to this guy, what a great day. Wowie. He's, I says, look at it, it's beautiful. Look at that sun and everything. It's a beautiful day. Nah. I says, well, what do you mean it's a great day? Yeah, it's kind of cool. What do you mean kind of cool? It's almost December. The sun is shining, and you're wearing only a shirt. Nah. And that was all I got out of him. And it hardly ever does anything here. It snows about twice a year here in New York. Little itsy wee bitsy fun snow, as Pudgy Wudgy on Channel 6 SJ7 would say. We just had a little fun snow today, friends. And people get so worried about it here. Why, I can remember out in the Midwest, All little dotted lines. We'll just add dotted lines that go on and on and on. Speaking of dotted lines, we better have some commercials here before I will be nothing but dotted lines myself, expunged completely.
This is Bill Lipton, your ever-ready battery on-the-spot reporter with a real hero, William Butler, manager of two theaters in North Carolina. Go right ahead and tell us your story, Bill.
Well, it was about 8 p.m. I was walking through the Raida Theater when I saw smoke pouring out of the dime store next door to the crowded theater. I sent in the alarm, then ran back to the store.
Did you enter the burning store?
Yes, sir. I broke the glass door.
Uh-huh.
There was thick smoke everywhere. I got on my hands and knees and crawled in. I used my ever-ready flashlight to spot exactly where the fire was and reported to the firemen when they came. It was a $300,000 fire, the town's worst. But we were able to save both theaters.
Thank you, William Butler. And now, here's the battery that outshines them all. Yes, this new ever-ready battery has new power to give you brighter, longer-lasting light. With a new jacket that shines like silver. So be sure to power all your flashlights and the children's toys, too, with dependable, ever-ready batteries.
The saddest thing of all is to sink in your boat and have ever-ready batteries in your flashlight. I mean, not even make it. Oh, come on, what am I doing here? I am just completely, thoroughly, utterly doing it. And it sometimes bothers me. It's like, no, really, it does. A lot of things bother me. Don't look at me that way. A lot of things do bother me. I mean, even if they don't you, they do me. But it goes a long way back. I'll tell you how far back it goes. It goes back to the time once when I was a kid. Well, no, actually, it went before that. See, these things go all the way back into the dim, gray vastnesses of very, very early, the dawn of all time. And you can't shake it. You bear with you, you do eternally. You bear with you the memories of 10 billion people who have gone before you. Those creeping things that even went before them. Those crawling things that went before them. Those swimming things that went before them. And you are the summation, the sum, the total, the essence of it all. And you stand at this end of it. Yeah, it's a funny thing to think about that. I read this statistic here a couple of minutes. Oh, maybe it was 6-7 months ago. It doesn't make any difference when I read it. But there was a statistic that said that 1 out of 10 people, and of course statistics are crummy in a way. They can say anything, and they can be very well. They're not only the half truth; they're even less than that. Sometimes they're the 1/90th of the truth. But because they look so official and have decimal points after them, people say this is true. We are completely, thoroughly cowed by decimal points. We really are. We are the people who are thrown by decimal points. And to give you an illustration of that, these goofy rating services, which work and wreak havoc upon all of our lives. What? Yeah, they're listening to me right now and writing things down. Do you know, old lady out there in Queens, old nothing burger living over in Staten Island, you are now being put on a chart this very moment. And you see, they all think that you're over listening to this other radio station where these guys are playing these rock and roll things. And in fact, you are. But it is a fact that these things are very peculiar. And what they will do is that they will, let's say they call 1,000 people, which is a lot because most of them don't call that many. But let's say they contact 1,000 people here in New York. In New York, do you know how many people live in New York? This is the Big Apple, buddy, the big time. There are over 25,000 people living in New York. And they will call, say, 1,000. What did you say, Jim? Yeah, I know. They only call the guys that have phones. The other guys don't even count at all. They're nothing. Well, of course, this is a badge of status. After all, anybody who doesn't have a phone doesn't buy anything. It's quite obvious. He's a nothing. You know, speaking of phones, it's a very peculiar world. You know that almost everybody today has his own private receptionist in the answering services. And nothing makes me madder than to call a guy's house. I call somebody, see? And out comes this machine. It says,
Mr. Watanabe is not home. I am a taped recorder. Would you please leave a message for Mr. Watanabe? Thank you, please.
He said, what are you talking about? Go fly a kite, Watanabe. Go fly a mechanical kite, and better yet, Watanabe, go get your mechanical kite flyer to fly a mechanical kite for you, Watanabe. Thank you.
Thank you. I will relay the message to Mr. Watanabe. Thank you.
All of a sudden, the whole world is composed of robots, and R.U.R. is here. And this friend of mine the other day, he's a humorist and cartoonist, and he says, I'm getting mad at this. I'm calling this guy, and I keep getting this machine, this crazy machine. And all of a sudden, I get this terrible idea. I finally get the guy.
Annoying period symptoms.
And,
general pain relievers like
Advil dials the number,
only
and there
cramps,
is Mr. Watanabe himself. He says, hello, Frank Watanabe here. And it's live old Frank. My friend gets in the... Suddenly, he's mad at this guy. He hasn't talked to him. He's mad at him, though, because all week he's been getting this machine. And he's really sore at him. And he had this sudden idea for a gimmick. That instead of him saying something to Watanabe on the phone, his machine says,
hello, 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 we are calling Mr. Frank Watanabe. Are you Mr. Watanabe?
Yeah, I'm Frank Watanabe, yeah, as a matter of fact.
May I speak to your answering machine, Mr. Watanabe?
And you get this feeling that all over the world today there are answering machines that are having conversations with one another, because long ago they have learned that man is no longer the master, but has become the servant. So why bother with the servant? I mean, all the servant does is pay the bills in this world. Let's see, we've got a couple more here. Let's start doing these commercials. Okay, man, speaking of servants, I now bow.
Which aluminum foil should I buy?
Why, the foil with the bonus.
And what foil is that?
Kaiser foil.
And what's the bonus?
It's quilted. Kaiser is the only foil with a raised quilted pattern, which makes it stronger, makes it seal tighter, means foods won't stick. Take cooking. Because of that raised quilted pattern, meats and pastry won't stick to Kaiser foil. Take wrapping. Because it's quilted, Kaiser foil has more body. Kaiser foil grips tighter. For cooking, you'll want Kaiser broiling foil. For storing, get Kaiser's new cap and wrap foil. A handy 7 inches wide. Just fits over 50% of the foods you store without waste. Only Kaiser makes quilted foil. A full line.
Well, I was about to stock up on foil, so...
So look for the red Kaiser box with the quilted pattern. Change to Kaiser foil, ma'am. It's quilted, yet costs no more.
Wasn't that a nice, friendly conversation those two people had? I like to see people have this. Conversation is not yet dead in our time. Clifton Fadiman, you're just a sorehead. It was a very nice, easy conversation.
Yes, madam. Will you not try it the next time you drop into your friendly neighborhood grocery?
Well, of course I will, sir. I believe that that's a wonderful idea.
Yes, madam. Drop in at your neighbor's.
Yes, madam, I will.
Time tied in the affairs of men are going to undo all of us, baby. Speaking of being undone, I saw this little note in... It was in one of these Marlboro bookstore ads. You know, they have all these books listed. And... occasionally, you run across one of these ideas. You look at these. Do you ever look at the books that they have listed in these things? There is nothing as fascinating to me as spending about 4,500 hours in a remainder bookstore. I absolutely love it. All the hopes and dreams of all of mankind are contained in one remainder book that says 19 cents on it. And you think of this poor slob somewhere who has worked in an attic. For 2 years, he's worked away at this volume. His publisher got all excited about it. And his agent got all excited about it. They got this wonderful book on stamp collecting in Monaco. And it's a terrific sociological document that is replete with human interest and great, great, great waves of... Oh, it's just a wonderful book. He worked 2 years, and then the next thing you know, It's down there in this store next to the chock full of nuts. In the window there, next to all those books that are about the tax laws of the state of Massachusetts in 1938. About how to improve your croquet swing. That kind of thing. By the way, did you hear? There was a guy in the air the other day. No matter what you talk about, there's somebody who is violently involved. I don't care what it may, what matters. I just mentioned the book on stamp collecting in Monaco, and I'll bet some Monaco subject or citizen is listening right now, and he has suddenly leaped out of his bed, and he says, "By George, my stamp collection!" And he's on the phone now where he can get this book. It's so funny because the other day, mankind is involved in a number of things, and it's a wonderful thing to really just sit back and see this great moiling mass of charges and countercharges and little cross currents going on all the time. And the other day I was sitting here in the station somewhere, and there was a monitor speaker going next to my ear. It's like living in the middle of a great big woofer or something here at WOR, with tweeters all around you and everything. There's sound constantly being blasted out at you. And Jim, this is a funny bit. Since you're a ham, and most people who are involved in their hobbies think of coffee in plural. When I can't drink one cup, I have to have two or three every time I sit down. But anyway, Schrapps has great coffee as far as I'm concerned, and their pies are magnifique, particularly the pumpkin. And right now they're having a big thing with Schrapps apple pie. So if you're banging around town, drop in and have a cup of coffee and a big slice of Schrapps apple pie or Schrapps pumpkin, which is the one I really go for. This is Schrapps. And you can pick up your Thanksgiving pies at Schrapps. Order them and they'll have them ready for you before Thanksgiving.
Geez, a crummy commercial.
If my mother ever thought of getting a pumpkin pie from somebody else, she would have turned green. She really would. I mean, but they do turn out a great pumpkin pie at Schrapps, Schrapps-a-rooney. And, yes. I have been getting calls all week, and this is, as much as I appreciate it, I would like to point out that sometimes it's a little troublesome. But I've been getting calls from people all week who have been asking me what is the name of and what is the telephone number of the electronics workshop, the place you've been talking about, that will take care of my high fidelity problems. And here, please write it down or something. But before you do that, I would like to tell those of you who might not know of this place a little bit about it. I've been involved myself in high fidelity for, well, some time. In fact, most of my adult life I've had some sort of hi-fi equipment of one sort or another. And one of the problems that I've always had with hi-fi, in fact, almost any kind of electronic equipment, is the same problem that has bugged most people, and that is the problem of service and also the problem of knowing where to go where you can get the straight dope on all kinds of equipment. I mean really the straight dope. I don't mean sales pitch, but the real straight information. And I have only found, in all the years, I've found maybe two or three places, stretching from here all the way to the great basin of the Ohio Valley, two or three places where I knew definitely that when I went in and said to the guy behind the counter, "Look, I want to know about the 6SJ7 amplifier. What do you think?" And he'll say, "Well, look, Charlie, for your purposes, the 6SKA7AG will do much better, and it's $20 less. It'll be a better job for you." And know that I was getting the straight dope. And this is exactly the kind of service. And this is not a sales... Believe me, you'll find this is true. Because it... Well, I've gotten calls from people since who have said, "Yes, you're right about this thing." That if you go to the electronic workshop, they will tell you the real straight dope on any... Oh, excuse me, there's another... Yes, friends. let's see, before we get there. What is mental illness? What are the chances of recovering from it? What cures and treatments may be forthcoming in the near future? These and many other important questions about one of our most serious national health problems will be answered by a panel of medical experts selected by the Medical Society of the County of New York in Sunday's Journal American. That's in the Journal American. And there are all kinds of other stories. For example, here's one of the most interesting comments I've seen on a commercial in years. It says, learn why TV star Dinah Shore wows audiences despite the fact that she has no more talent than some other entertainers. It's a rotten thing to say. But anyway, you'll find this about, you'll find out what the magic secret that she has and many, many other things in the Journal American. That's the Sunday's Journal American. And also in the American Weekly, they have a big series starting about mental illness. That's in Sunday's Journal American. No, we're safe again. Things are okay. You know, I keep this recurring. We'll put you on your mettle. Listening to the commercial there of Danny Kaye, this business of this picture he made reminds me of something. It just sort of crept up on me. Movies and speaking of the world of Vic and Sade, which we mentioned briefly in the earlier part of the thing here, we'll put you on your mettle, see whether or not you are a real red-blooded, hairy American. What was the name of the movie house in the Vic and Sade show? And what was the name of the picture that was always playing at the movie house in the old Vic and Sade program? And what was the name of the woman who starred in all the movies? This same movie. It was always playing at the blank theater. It was a wonderful series, really. It was great. And poor old Rush was always reading this book. Third Lieutenant Stanley among the Aborigines. And yes, it was Lady Margaret. Lady Margaret, stand back. I will deal with these ruffians, said Third Lieutenant Stanley as he reached for his saber hanging by his sword. Slowly his jaw tightened, his eyes... This is the kind of books he was always reading. Third Lieutenant Stanley among the Aborigines. This is Third Lieutenant Stanley, friends, and I'll be here until 12 noon, fighting against the ineffable forces. That's all right, you know. Don't buckle under this terrible feeling that we all have, that we have nothing to say. Don't buckle under. Bertrand Russell, for example, took this wonderful writing course, and within 6 weeks he became a world-famous philosopher. He began earning as much as $10 a week in his spare time by writing these wonderful articles for all these British magazines. You, too, can do the same thing. So, actually, don't give up hope. Really, don't give up hope. That's the trouble with us. We all do this. We give up hope. And, actually, hope is what's going to carry us through. Everybody knows that. It's like the cruise of the Midge. Like the cruise of the Midge. The Midge being a small insect with 18 feet. Two giant pincers out in the front, and they bite. But the cruise of the Midge is a book which constantly bobs to the surface of my subconscious. Bobs up there like an old cork on the top of this great, vast, dark, seething whirlpool. This hissing, bubbling pot, this cauldron of the subconscious. Where all these sneaking things are there. Because I'll tell you what happened. My aunt was a very aunt-type aunt. This aunt, the one I'm talking about, she was made entirely of corsets, this aunt. And corsets, and she had flowers all over her. It's funny how when you're a kid, you really look at the essentials of a person. You seriously do. You get the essentials right out. And you don't get confused with all the little details, because a kid really oftentimes doesn't notice the details, which the adult does. Whenever an adult is drawing, for example, he gets all hung up drawing eyebrows, or you'll get all hung up drawing little hairs and something, you know. He'll get all wound up, and so the drawing is terrible. The kid just makes a round head. There's a great big ear sticking out, and pretty soon there's a people there, see? He just isn't fooling around with all this stuff. And my aunt... Because I haven't seen her since I was a little kid. This aunt, to me, was made entirely of corsets, and she had flowers all over her. She wore flower dresses. She was a flower dress type aunt, and she was round and she creaked. These corsets creaked all the time, and that was my aunt. And my aunt gave me a book called The Cruise of the Midge, and this was before I could read. And my mother said, well, this is the name of this book is The Cruise of the Midge. And I kept saying, what is a midge, mother? And my mother didn't know what a midge was. What is a midge? She says, well, that's a boat, I guess. I says, well, what is a midge, though? Why did they name it a midge? And she says, well, it's a boat, you know. And we went into this long theoretical discussion of names and so on, and just continued to tag on out. And one of the few times I can remember being a kid, really being a kid. I mean, you know how kids sometimes ask these really ridiculous questions, these real silly questions. You can't convince them of anything. Just a silly, crummy question. Well, I remember going on for about 1 week. My aunt, the one with the flowers all over her, with the creaky corsets, took me to a movie. And this movie starred Johnny Weissmuller. Johnny Weissmuller, and what was her name? Maureen Sullivan, wasn't it? Didn't Maureen Sullivan play Lady Jane in the Tarzan pictures? Was it Maureen Sullivan? Anyway, there was this Tarzan picture, and boy, I really dug Tarzan pictures. I was just a kid. And in this Tarzan picture, there was this old guy, an old professor or something, who got killed or he died or something. Anyway, he died. And I was stunned. I mean, this guy died. I saw him on a... He was dead. And I came out and I said to my aunt, is he dead? Why did he die? And she says, no, that's only in the picture. I says, but I saw him. He's dead. And she says, well, no, that's only in the picture. And I couldn't separate the picture from reality. I kept saying, well, he's dead, you know, well, we... She says, no, now, don't cry. Look, I'll buy you a book called The Cruise of the Midge. Now, stop crying. Don't cry. It was just in the picture. And for 2 days, we argued about this thing. And I remember being a kid asking the typical why-type question. You know, it's interesting when you realize what we do with kids after we get to be an adult. We have these dream fantasies about how kids are, and they're not really that way. And one of the worst dream fantasies, I finally read it, and it bothered me, you know. This book by Robert Paul Smith, it's not at all about kids. It's about the way an adult thinks kids should have been if they were like real kids, you know. And I kept reading, no, I never knew a kid who did any of this stuff when I was a kid. And this the picture on the cover, you know, shows a little kid with the typical cliche, a little kid sitting there with a slingshot sticking out of his pocket playing mumbly peg, and he's doing everything, you know. And you never see a kid ever do any of this stuff, hardly. And yet, you have, when you read this stuff, you have the feeling, yeah, all kids, they're not like that, not at all. Look real carefully at some kids sometime, and don't look at them and make them into something that you think a kid should be, or what you think you were when you were a kid, which you never were at all. And there are so many of these things like that, where we have the dream fantasies about the way kids are. Like for example, I read Catcher in the Rye, and this was this very fine book by J.D. Salinger, but it wasn't about any 16-year-old kid. And this 16-year-old kid went on and on. He's got these deep insights, and he's got this artless peering into every man's soul that he meets, and he dug Bessie Smith records and all that, and of a perfect kid, you know, absolutely perfect, beautiful specimen of a flowering human being. And, you know, I was 16 once too, J.D. Salinger. It's the eternal dream of the adult looking back and saying it was like this when I was a kid. Of course it wasn't. Never was. And I'm constantly thinking, trying to, in my mind, say, how really was it? And I can remember walking down Holman Avenue in Hammond, Indiana, when I was a kid, trying to get out of my aunt why this guy died in this movie, with the clear, deep, muddied, nothing insight of a kid. It was very peculiar. Yeah, what did I do when I went out? Nothing. We'll be here until... 12 noon. Except that nowhere in the book do you get this. The kids are always playing tricks on one another. The mischievous kid is a myth. I never knew any mischievous kids. I just knew, you know, kids would do something once in a great while, but the mischievous Katzenjammer kid concept is purely a myth. You know, playing the joke on the adults and all this jazz. Not the kids I knew. Speaking of, now look, here's a typical kid now. I'm reading a letter. I will read this letter. It is not from a kid, but it is from a father about a kid. Listen to this. Dear Gene, I don't know whether or not it has come to your attention that yesterday evening's scheduled Late Late Show The Mask of Fu Manchu, advertised in the newspapers and the TV guide, was at last minute canceled out without explanation in favor of some innocuous and creaky alleged comedy drama. That is a fact. You know, I looked forward for 3 days to seeing The Mask of Fu Manchu, and I went through all this effort to get to where a friend's TV set was on, and I looked at his set and what came out with this terrible, terrible 1932-type musical, and Fu didn't show up anywhere. The picture that I saw was 10 times more horrible than any Fu Manchu movie, in the deepest sense of the word. But listen, the matter was brought potently to my attention by reason of the fact that my 12-year-old son had made something of an issue of the screening of this movie. Steeped in the philosophy and machinations of Dr. Fu, as expounded through your programs, he jubilantly welcomed the opportunity to see this rare old movie, vintage 1932. He hailed the picture as one of truly classic dimensions, and against strong odds won a battle with both his parents, me being one of them, who refused to let him see a late show with a school day ahead. But finally, in view of his ecstatic interpretation of the unique educational nuances involved, relented on the basis of his agreeing to get 4 extra hours of prior sleep, a 2-for-1 deal. All his roseate hopes, however, met with total frustration as Dr. Fu failed to appear, and jubilation was replaced by mourning. Isn't that sad? This little kid went to sleep 4 hours early, and he slept, and they woke him up, and he sat in front of the TV set in his bathrobe, and they turned it on, and what came on but Eddie Albert in a 1932... Oh! And so the guy goes on to say, having been seized by a curiosity to know a little more about the matter, I called the television station offices today and was told that it had been decided, quote, The Mask of Fu Manchu was, quote, too gruesome to show to the television public. Hence the... How silly this is! Who can take Fu Manchu seriously? And here's the last paragraph. He says, what in the name of all the sacred sarcophagi of Singapore are we coming to? Here we have the spectacle of one of the great masters of corruption and bedevilment being denied admission to living rooms and bedrooms that have echoed all week to the sound of pistol villainy, dynamiting, stranglings, tomahawk ringing, and dozens of other varieties of murder, mayhem, and massacre from cheap, sanguinary competitors of the great Manchu, not even fit to be mentioned in the same breath of post-midnight cigarette smoke. That is true. If Fu must go, and with him the aristocratic Sir Dennis Nayland Smith, played in this movie by the estimable Judge Hardyish Lewis Stone, may not Moriarty be next? And immediately after him, Sherlock himself? And surely Boris Karloff, who plays Manchu in this movie, has electronically invaded homes scores of times in a far more blatantly evil way than anything he might have done in The Mask. Friends, Romans, Fu Manchu fans, countrymen, can't something be done about this? I agree, this is terrible. Can't all the loyal followers of the great Fu sound the tocsin, help rescue this unrivaled master of Oriental deviltry from the anonymity to which he has been subjected? It must not happen again. You know, that's true. I mean, we are living in very parlous times, strange times. And Fu Manchu is a total fantasy, complete and utter fantasy. I can remember Fu sitting in his throne room, his evil emerald eyes showing from out of the darkness, his long talon fingernails closing over the teakwood arms of his carved throne, that great intellect throbbing, throbbing, filling the room as a giant, giant mushroom grew. Sir Nayland Smith clutched at his side in horror. He began to feel his senses reeling under the tremendous impact of this throbbing intellect. Could this evil genius be right? Dr. Fu Manchu was bound. He was determined to rule the world.
Some men smoke Fu Manchu.
Grand Union Turkey Sale. Grand Union Turkey Sale.
Turkey Sale? What's the price?
Only 35 cents a pound and ready to cook.
Did you say only?
Only 35 cents a pound for top quality backed by bond turkeys.
What size?
Over 18 to 24 pounds.
Where did you say?
Grand Union Supermarkets in metropolitan New York and New Jersey.
This is WOR 710 and WOR FM, New York. Your thirst deserves the best in handy, convenient Miller High Life gold and white cans. Order a genuine Milwaukee beer. Miller, the time is 11:30.
By George, and we're back. I always wanted a Fu Manchu skull cap. when I was a kid, you know. All the kids had these beanies. I wanted this one with this dragon climbing over the top of my head. I never have the right things. And you know another thing I wanted when I was a kid? I wanted a pair of these shoes that, you know the shoes that the that Alibaba and all those people wear with the toes that curl up at the ends? Have you ever seen those pictures of them? There's only one man I know who actually on the street and in his private life and in his work has been known to wear shoes that curl up at the end like that. You'll never guess who it was. He really wore them. I mean, with a regular suit yet. He'd wear a gray suit and with a tie and a white shirt, basket weave. And he had these shoes that curled up at the end and had tassels on the end. He had one pair that had two little round brass balls that had Chinese cats painted on them. And this man wore them seriously. I mean, he wore them just like he'd wear shoes. I don't know whether you wear your shoes seriously or not. I mean, or you're just kidding around. He wore them. Who do you guess this was? You might know it. It was Dizzy Gillespie. Dizzy Gillespie wears these shoes that curl up. And I said to Gillespie, I remember the first time I saw him with these, I said, Diz, what with the shoes? He says, you got shoes on, man. I says, but look at the toes. He says, look at the toes on yours. They're round. And he was right. They were. I had round toes on my shoes. And I would say absolutely no way to fight. All I could say was, yours are pointed and curly. He says, what's with round ones? I don't like round toes. You dig round toes, man. I dig pointed, curly toes. That was all. And, you know, this is so true. This was right to the heart of it. I had no comeback. None. Except that I'm looked upon as an idiot here at WOR because occasionally I wear a checkered shirt. Oh, yes, that's true. I mean, you know, it's just one of those things with rounded, curly toes. Now, come on, who was it? Who starred in that movie that Vic and Sade and Rush used to go see every night? And what was the name of that hotel? Great hotel they had. The man who wrote this script, Paul Larmer, I believe. Was his name Paul Larmer? He's a Chicago scriptwriter. Created some wonderful names, and one of the names, it was just a great name, was the Bright Kentucky Hotel. Isn't that a beautiful name? The Bright Kentucky Hotel. And they had the Orange Blossom Room in the Bright Kentucky Hotel. And the L&N tracks went right past the Bright Kentucky Hotel. And when Vic and Sade were really going to have a big night, they would go to the Orange Blossom Room and have beef punkles at the Bright Kentucky Hotel. Yeah, this hotel specialized in beef punkles. It was their big dish. And they would go to the Bright Kentucky Hotel. And I remember Vic one day, who is now, I think Vic died a year or so ago. And he was saying on the show one day, he says, we had a lot of fun down at the office today. He says, we were talking about this drummer. He says, we were talking about this drummer who came to the Bright Kentucky Hotel, and the boys pulled the old joke on him. And Sadie said, what is this joke? He says, well, you know, room 4A overlooks the L&N tracks. And they were right at the bend of the L&N tracks. The tracks bent. It made a big curve, and they came right at the hotel, and then the tracks went alongside of it, see? And room 4A was right at the point. And he says at 4 o'clock in the morning, the boys had gotten in touch with the engineer on the Peoria special, and at 4 o'clock in the morning, he's coming right at this train. He's coming right at the room, and he goes, boom, boom. The guy wakes up, and he looks out of his window, and here's a train coming right in the window. And then at the last minute, the train goes, oh, makes the turn. And, of course, by this time, the guy's already on the street and running. This is a silly program. And the time that the boys were switching the engines right beside the Bright Kentucky Hotel, and they were switching up, and this switchman was sleepy. He'd been out the night before. And he hooked the engine to the side of the Bright Kentucky Hotel instead of to the... They turned the hotel all the way around, and so they had this terrible thing. They had to change the entranceway then after that. Everybody... of course it's silly. I mean, it was very silly. Big excitement in town. And they had to change... The big problem was they had to change the address on all their stationery now. They faced the other street, see? Oh, it was a silly program. Excuse me for laughing. And do you remember the wonderful lodge that Vic belonged to, the Sacred Stars of the Milky Way? He belonged to the Pleiades chapter. And he was the sacred Big Dipper. He had been elected. He wore a sword. And he wore a turban. And he always had these lodge books. And all the time, brothers were calling him up who were in trouble, you see. And he had to give them the secret rites on the telephone. He'd say, "Now, all of you leave the room. I have the secret rites to give. Charlie Gutstop just sprained his ankle, and he's in dire trouble, and I have to give him the rites." And he'd say, "Hello, Charlie." And he'd say, "Say, Rush, will you give me Volume 7 of the sacred bylaws? And don't look inside, because there's a secret. The sacred bylaws of the Then he'd get on the phone. He'd say, "Charlie, are you there? Are you all ready, Charlie?" "All right, Charlie." He says, "Have you got your turban on?" You'd hear, "Wah, wah, wah, wah." "Yeah, all right. All set now. Okay, now, raise your right hand, Charlie. Raise your right hand. Is your finger pointed toward the great star of the Bear of the North?" "Yes." "All right. All right, awesome now. In hoc agricula conch, in est spittle lauk. In est agricula conch, in est spittle lauk. Hauk, 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 in hoc agricula conch, hick, hike, hoak." He used to say, "Okay, you can come back in the room now, Sadie." Oh, it was just a wonderful show. He did great things on that program. be sure to stay tuned, friends. Speaking of things, we must have some kind. Do you have a... Fine, here's a little goodie for you.
"Give me an aluminum foil that's strong."
"Kaiser foil."
"That won't tear so easily."
"Kaiser foil, ma'am. It's quilted for extra strength and an extra tight seal. Kaiser once made plain foil, like the others. Then they improved it, made it quilted, gave it a raised diamond pattern for extra body and an extra tight seal. This raised pattern grips, like the tread on a tire, resists tearing, and lifts up food so they brown more evenly and won't stick. Now for cooking, you'll want Kaiser broiling foil. And for capping and wrapping, try the lowest price foil on the shelf, Kaiser cap and wrap foil, just 7 inches wide. Fits everything small with no waste. Only Kaiser makes quilted foil, a full line."
"Well, I was about to stock up on foil, so..."
"So look for the red Kaiser box with a quilted pattern. Change to Kaiser foil, ma'am. It's quilted, yet costs no more."
Yes, change to Kaiser foil, man. It's quilted. I think that's one of the best lines of the year. This is as good as anything Vic ever said. Or Uncle Fletcher.
"Sadie! Sadie! 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 Oh, I say, Sadie."
I remember Uncle Fletcher used to walk 3 miles out of his way to go to the peanut machine at the L&N Railroad Station because he counted the number of peanuts you got out of every machine in town, and he knew that this one gave 4 more peanuts. Hey, Peggy, wait, Peggy just called. Hello, Peggy. You can't resist tossing in, just a minute, Peggy Fitzgerald was sitting out there, and Peg is a great, I know, is a great Vic and Sade fan. This is one of the truly classic, and one of the few pieces of totally conceived American satire that I have ever heard in any medium. I don't care whether it's the stage, I don't care whether it's in books, but it was beautifully conceived. And Peggy is an old Vic and Sade fan. Hi, Peg. Yeah. Yeah. That was wonderful, yeah, and poor little Rush would read this, and Sade would say, "Rush, what are you reading?" He'd say, "I'm reading Third Lieutenant Stanley with the Aborigines." And she'd say, "Well, what are you reading right now? Why are you blushing?" And he says, "Well," Rush would say, "Well, Mother, I'm just reading this, I'm reading this part, and it's very embarrassing." And she'd say, "Well, what are you reading now?" He says, "All right." And here's what he would be reading. "Third Lieutenant Stanley stepped up to Lady Margaret, who was sitting on the chaise lounge. He removed his saber from its holster. He placed his visored cap squarely on the middle of his head, and with a manly jaw jutting out, with his eyes cold blue, and yet with a twinkle playing about that great brow, said, 'Lady Margaret, I love you.'"
I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Lady Margaret, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. You remember that? And he would blush. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, on lesser occasions, they went to the ye pheasant feathered tiny petite tea shop, and yes, it was the Bijo, and they always called it the Bijo Theater. Gloria, who was the movie star? Gloria Golden. Gloria Golden was always starring at the Bijo Theater, and what was the name of the picture she was always starring in? Hearts of Flame. Hearts of Flame. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that was a wonderful anecdote. Peggy just pointed out one that one of the rights that the Sacred Stars of the Milky Way had, that if you paid $25 into the treasury, they would name a star after you, actually a star, and about every third or fourth night, Vic would be out with Sade trying to point out the star that was named after him, Vic, Victor Gook, and he never could point it out. Robert and Slobbert Hink. Yeah. Y.Y. Flirch. Oh, I know the name of his boss, Peg. The name of his boss was Bullard, Mr. Bullard. Y.Y. Flirch was a man who kept sending him postcards, and he never knew who Flirch was. And he would get a letter, he would say, Sade. And she'd say, hello, Sade. She'd say, Sade, I just got a card from Y.Y. Flirch. And she'd say, where is he? He says, he writes from Denver. Says, Vic, remember the great times we had here in Denver? And he'd say, I've never been in Denver. She said, well, who is Y.Y. Flirch? And he says, well, I don't know. He wrote to me from Pittsburgh last week. Bluetooth Johnson and what was the other one? Smelly Clark. They were the kids. They were friends. Bluetooth Johnson. Isn't that a great name for a kid? Yeah, the man who lived, who was on the freight drag, who lived next door, was always on the night shift. And he took his lunch to work in a golf bag. Yeah, I remember that. Do you? Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That was Fred and Ruthie Stembottom. And Yamilton's Department Store. Peggy, I got to get back. She's a real aficionado. Come on, Peg. That was Peggy. She remembers all these wonderful... Doesn't this sound like every little department store you've ever known? Yamilton's Department Store. And they were always having a big wash rag sale. And he had the greatest running gags in the world. About every month, they would get a bill from Yamilton's for $1.87. And Vic would say, I paid that. I'm not going to pay those people. And she'd say, well, now, Vic, they're getting very nasty. They're going to have it. He says, I will not pay it. I will not pay it. I paid that bill. And this went on for years. Speaking of going on for years. Oh, by George. For your festive occasions, instead of the wee petite pheasant feathered tea shoppy, we would like to recommend Schraft's. The Schraft's restaurant. We have a note here about... Hey, one thing about Schraft's, I will say this. Schraft's has one of the greatest cups of coffee in town. Or is it cup of coffee? Cups of coffee? Cup of coffee? I always think of coffee in plural. When I can't drink one cup. I have to have two or three every time I sit down. But anyway, Schraft's has great coffee as far as I'm concerned, and their pies are magnifique, particularly the pumpkin. And right now they're having a big thing with Schraft's apple pie. So if you're banging around town, drop in and have a cup of coffee and a big slice of Schraft's apple pie or Schraft's pumpkin, which is the one I really go for. This is Schraft's. And you can pick up your Thanksgiving pies at Schraft's, order them, and they'll have them ready for you before Thanksgiving.
Although I will say this, if my mother ever thought of getting a pumpkin pie from somebody else, she would have turned green. She really would. I mean, but they do turn out a great pumpkin pie. It's Schraps. Schraps-a-rooney. And, yes. I have been getting calls all week, and this is, as much as I appreciate it, I would like to point out that sometimes it's a little troublesome. But I've been getting calls from people all week who have been asking me what is the name of and what is the telephone number of the electronics workshop, the place you've been talking about, that will take care of my high fidelity problems. And here, please write it down or something. But before you do that, I would like to tell those of you who might not know of this place a little bit about it. I've been involved myself in high fidelity for, well, some time. In fact, most of my adult life, I've had some sort of hi-fi equipment of one sort or another. And one of the problems that I've always had with hi-fi, in fact, almost any kind of electronic equipment, is the same problem that has bugged most people, and that is the problem of service and also the problem of knowing where to go where you can get the straight dope on all kinds of equipment. I mean, really the straight dope. I don't mean sales pitch, but the real straight information. And I have only found, in all the years, I've found maybe two or three places, stretching from here all the way to the great basin of the Ohio Valley, two or three places where I knew definitely that when I went in and said to the guy behind the counter, look, I want to know about the 6SJ7 amplifier, what do you think? And he'll say, well, look, Charlie, for your purposes, the 6SKA7AG will do much better, and it's $20 less. It'll be a better job for you. And know that I was getting the straight dope. And this is exactly the kind of service. And this is not a sales... Believe me, you'll find this is true. Because it... I've gotten calls from people since who have said, yes, you're right about this thing. That if you go to the electronic workshop, they will tell you the real straight dope on any of the high-fidelity equipment that is available in the world today. And if you've been having trouble with your record changer, this is one of the real bugaboos, I would like to suggest you take a look at the beautiful Swiss Thorens, the straight-through turntable. It's a magnificent turntable made in Switzerland, and it's particularly the one I like is the Thorens TD-124. It's a beautiful table. And they're getting in next week, for those of you who are up on your hi-fi equipment that have been reading the magazines and so on, they're getting in the Weathers stereoramic it's a pickup head, the stereoramic pickup head, the Weathers, which is just $17.50 and is one of the truly fine pickup heads in the stereo field. Now, this is the electronic workshop. They're at 26 8th Street in the Village, 26 West 8th Street. But the best thing to do is to give them a call if you want to come in and talk. And they're open tonight until, 9, 10, 11 o'clock, as long as it takes to do the service right. They are open every night until 9 o'clock, except Sundays, of course. And they have a beautiful little shop, and you'll find that this is such a completely different atmosphere. You know, you can stand in this place if you want for an hour, and nobody will say anything to you. If you want somebody to help you, they will help you immediately. And I saw a thing happen in the electronic workshop the other night that I thought was great. Just happened. A guy came in, he said, look, and I'm just sitting there. And he came in, a little guy, and he had his turntable with him. And he said, Jim, you know how unusual this is in electronic equipment. Listen to this. I actually saw this. He came in with this turntable, seeing it had a pickup head and it had a regular pickup on. And he says, I would like to know whether I can buy a new pickup arm, and I'd like to have a new pickup arm and a new pickup head put on this for stereo. And the guy looked at it and he says, you don't need a new arm. He said, we can use this old arm. He could have sold him an arm for $40. This is a fact. He says, no, we can use this old arm because we can adapt this one to stereo. I can put a head in there. He says, it'll save you about $40 and will work just as well. The guy says, you really mean it'll work just as well? He didn't believe it, you see, because usually it doesn't work like that. He says, yes, it'll work. In fact, he says, it'll probably work better. And so, by George, that was the deal, just like that. And this is the kind of place it is. These people intend to be in business a long time. This is not a quickie operation. Then they have been in business for over, it's about 9 years now. This is the electronic workshop. And if you live in Westchester or if you live in Fairfield County and you would like to have them call on you to give you some idea what, you know, what kind of a hi-fi set you can have, you can call them and call them collect. The number is Greenwich 3. That's, or rather, Gramercy, excuse me, it's GR. I keep thinking of the GR. It's GR30140. Now, that is the number. So please don't keep calling me about it. It's GR30140. And you can call them right now. There are a couple of experts sitting at the phone. And if you have any questions, just a question, if you say, look, what about the 6SJ7 tweeter? You'll say, uh-uh, stay away. Anyway, this is the Electronic Workshop. I heard Tex the other day talking about the Pilgrim Laundry. Tex, on the Tex and Jinx show, and he was saying that of all the jobs that housewives have, that they took a survey, and the one that they hate the most is washing. Well, I have to concede, maybe these figures are right, but have you seen the pictures in the soap ads? These women with these ecstatic looks on their faces. I discovered the new wash day wonder. Wowie! They got a smile that goes all the way around to the back of their head, and their eyes are shining. The John Whitcomb eyes, you know. The Saturday Evening Post illustration eyes with stars right in the middle of their big, beautiful blue orbs. I discovered the new wash day wonder. I send my wash to Pilgrim Laundry. That's the best way to do it. And they have all kinds of systems, by the way. There's a finished service. There's a semi-finished service. And if you like to do your own ironing, if you don't like to do your own ironing, there are about five different kinds of services. It's a great laundry. And believe me, they do the best job I've ever seen on a shirt. They do a great shirt job. That's the Pilgrim Laundry. If you're the bachelor type, man, this will take care of it all. For the first time in your life, you'll be able to stand yourself. Give them a call at South 84567. You know, one of the tricks that you learn is you learn how to wear a shirt for over 6 months before it begins to have moss on it. I know guys who used to use their old shirts for compost heaps after they finish. It really does great with the marigolds and the morning glories. Just buried under The number is South 84567. That's the Pilgrim Laundry. Take you off the hook. Do I hear that knocking? Do I hear that eternal knocking? Oh, yes, yes. There was the Pleiades chapter. In hoc agricula conch, in est spittle lock. I've just given you the secret rite that says you're going to have a magnificent weekend. That's out of the Sacred Laws, Volume 7. In hoc agricula conch, in est spittle. Raise your right hand and point at the Big Dipper. Come on, it won't work. At the Big Dipper. No, that's the Little Dipper, the Big Dipper. Ah, you'll never get there. In hoc agricula conch, in est spittle lock. Herald every man here.
This is WOR Radio, your station for news.